Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The life God gives to those who believe in His Son is a life that transforms our inner motivations. Once we believe, we see things in a whole different light. We learn about this in 1 John chapter 1. For more on real life, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We've come to gift number 2. Join us now for more about Jesus, the gift of life.
My wife, soon after we were married, Rebecca worked at Allstate, actually, as a secretary, and she had a boss who once said to her, when I die, I show up and God is there, I'm going to ask Him, well, where have you been? Well, where have you been? Certainly he should have seen God in creation, and that should have created within this man's a desire to seek for God. That's number one. But God will say to him someday, I did show up. I did show up. Jesus came to reveal the Father, and whoever saw Him saw the Father, because in Jesus God showed up. And this man, born in the United States of America, would have no excuse, because he could go into a bookstore, he could buy a Bible, he could go to churches that preach the gospel. If he were really seeking God, God was there for the finding. But he said, I want to say to God, where have you been? Well, I'll tell you where he's been. He's been here on earth. He was in Bethlehem, and he died on the cross. That's where he's been. You remember Phil Donahue, those talk shows that he used to have? One day he said, you know, if God loved the world, why did he send his son to die? Why didn't he do it himself? Phil, in Jesus, he did it himself. God was in flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. So John says the life was manifested. And then he says, thirdly, in the third aspect, the life was proclaimed. You'll notice he says it is this word. He uses the word we've heard, we've seen, we've handled, we've touched him. And we now testify and proclaim to you this eternal life. I think it's verse 2. We proclaim it to you. And why wouldn't you proclaim a message like this and spread it abroad? Now, the first time this particular message was proclaimed, it was by angels on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And then later on, the shepherds themselves proclaimed the good news. And then beyond that, even, we have, of course, the wise men. But they didn't understand everything that John understood, because they didn't understand the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus with the clarity with which John did, because he was there for all of the events. And so he says, we proclaim this message to you, first of all, by words. By words, because you need to know the gospel. You need to know that Jesus died for sinners, and that his death is a substitute for those who believe on him. So you proclaim it, but you also have a sense of authenticity. You proclaim it with your life. You know, in chapter 2, you'll notice at the bottom of the page, in my Bible at least, you'll notice that John says, verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Why wouldn't a Christian who's come to saving faith in Christ, who understands the glories of the gospel, why wouldn't he share it with his colleagues at work? To me, it is unthinkable that you wouldn't. To give him a book to read or a small booklet and say, look, read this booklet and then we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Let's go out for lunch and let's talk about it. And to share the good news. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 7, Old Testament, there are 4 lepers and they are dying. They are starving. And they say, we're going to go to the camp of the Syrians. And if they kill us, that's fine. We're dying anyway. But they might take care of us. And they go into the camp and they discover that there is no Syrian there, because what happened is they had had a false report and they all ran and they left all of their food and all of their belongings and all of their money. And so these four guys are just having the most unbelievable party. You just read about it. I read it this morning. I mean, they are hauling off stuff for themselves, and then they think, you know, we're not doing this right. We ought to actually tell other people what we found. A great idea. How can you know Christ and not proclaim him? That is to say, share him with your colleagues and those at work. Of course, you've been changed. You understand the gospel. You understand the need. You understand the predicament that people are in. You know that Jesus is the answer to their predicament. And you and I, perhaps not sharing with others the good news of the gospel. So first of all, he says, God was revealed. He was manifest. Secondly, he says, we proclaim the message and we shared it. And then third, he says, we enjoyed this eternal life. We enjoyed this eternal life. This past week, someone said to me, and I do not remember who, whether it was a staff member or someone else, they said something like this: I'm surprised at the number of people at Moody Church to whom I talk who do not understand the gospel and who probably, therefore, are not saved. Wow, I thought to myself, that's disappointing, because I thought I preached the gospel almost every Sunday, virtually every Sunday. If you're listening for it, I think you know that it's here. So what I'm going to do is to take just a moment so that you better understand eternal life and then the purpose of eternal life, and I want you to leave here absolutely excited about eternal life and to let you know what Christmas is all about. Well, this eternal life begins by being born again. Six times in this little letter of three or four chapters, John mentions the phrase born again. He says, if a person is born again, he who is born of God does not do this. He that is born of God lives this way. Who in the world is this person who's born of God? Many years ago, Rebecca and I were in Germany, and we rented a car, and we drove to Herrnhut. You know, that's where the Moravians lived. And I wanted to go to the cemetery there. They lived there in the 1700s. And the reason, choir, listen carefully, why I wanted to go to the cemetery is because the Moravians were so into music. Sometimes they sang music up to 6 hours at a time. And they were buried in accordance with the choirs. For example, you belong to that choir. This is your plot to be buried. Could you imagine a cemetery here in Chicago? This is the Moody Church Choir from the year 1970 to 1990. And then you have the other folks buried over here, because I suppose in the day of resurrection, they'd just all get up and be ready to sing, and everybody'd be on tune and they'd be ready to go. Tim, you've got a job to do. Get them ready, not just for tonight's concert, but a little bit beyond it. So anyway, we're looking for the cemetery, and through a stroke of providence that I will not take time to tell you about, it was just of God, we met a man who was on his way to the cemetery and who had a key to take us into a tower in the cemetery. Now, he spoke only German, so I had no alternative but to try my German on him. And as we're walking along, I knew that I had this guy only for 5 or 10 minutes. So obviously I wanted to share the gospel with him. So I began asking him in German whether or not he was wiedergeboren. Did you hear that? Whether or not he was born again. And he said to me, born again? He said, I was born once. Why would I want to be born twice? I just smiled. That's exactly what Nicodemus said to Jesus. Jesus said, you must be born again. He says, well, can I enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time? He said, obviously not. So I had to explain to him he had to be born of the Holy Spirit through personal faith in Christ. And I said to him in broken German that it doesn't happen through baptism. It doesn't happen through confirmation. It doesn't happen by going to church. You know, there used to be an evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. Maybe you've not heard of him, but in the 1920s, great evangelist. He was actually buried here. And when I came to Moody Church, a woman wrote me a letter who remembered Billy Sunday. I suppose by now she is in heaven, but she said he used to hop from this platform that I'm standing on to the lower one without using the stairs, and vice versa, because he was into baseball, and he'd say, you know, hit a home run for Jesus, slide into home plate. He must have been a very interesting guy to listen to. But I remember a quote from Billy Sunday, because he was right on when he said this: going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than driving a wheelbarrow into a garage and it becoming a car. And Billy Sunday was right. You're not born again by going to church, though to go to church is good, by listening to sermons, by admiring Jesus. You're born again by faith when you recognize that you need a Savior and you transfer all of your trust to what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Now, and when that happens, something else happens. It is not just that God creates within us a new nature so that we begin loving God, etc., though all that happens. And we become partakers of the divine nature, and God gives us brand new loves, and we begin to love Jesus, and we begin to love God. All that happens, but something else happens. And this is why it's so critical for you to listen to this message. And that is that the whole sin issue between us and God is actually resolved and taken out of the way. And that, of course, is only something that Jesus can do, because, listen to me carefully, for us to meet God, we have to meet him on his terms, not ours. Now, the text is open, and you'll notice what John says. We have fellowship, we proclaim to you, verse 3, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and don't we ever? You can meet believers all over the world, and there's a sense of instant connection, fellowship, sharing a common life. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You most assuredly have to listen to the continuation of this broadcast, which you will get next time, because I'm going to be explaining that text of Scripture in a way that is going to bless you. What is it like for us to have fellowship with God the Father? That is really the highest privilege that you and I can think about. And of course, we can do that all because of Christmas, all because of the fact that God was in the flesh, reconciling us to himself. How privileged we are to know that message. You know, during this Christmas season, I always like to take an opportunity to thank you for your prayers, for your gifts, you know, because of people like you, our ministry can continue. And by the way, we're not only heard here in the United States of America, but in several countries of the world. Thank you for your partnership. And with all that, I hope that you also spend some time this Christmas connecting with others.
That was Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus, the Gift of Life, the second of four Christmas messages on the gifts Jesus brought to us. Next time, more about a visit to a Moravian cemetery. All four messages about the gifts Jesus brought to us can be yours on CD, sent as a thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.